This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery, just like Leicester City this season. So the only thing left to say is, you win, order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus. Rewards registration required, points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
95% of Uber Eats orders are on time, which is great. Because the only thing I care about more than football is spicy pepperoni pizza for kickoff. But on the off chance your order is late, Uber Eats will give you 3 months, $0 delivery fee with a free Uber One membership. Now that's a spicy offer.
On time claim based on latest arrival time shown after order is placed. Offer ends 2/19/2023. Current Uber One members not eligible. Subscription will auto-renew at $9.99 each month, starting 3 months from initial enrollment. See uber.com/uber1 for terms. Benefits available only for eligible stores. Order minimum supply.
Leicester Till I Die TV. Watch and subscribe on YouTube and listen on your podcast platform.
Oh, Matt Elliott here.
Hi, Alan Smith here.
Hey guys, Ian Hume here.
Hi everybody, Jerry Taggart here.
Be sure to watch
Chris and Leicester Till I Die TV
for all the latest Leicester City news and information.
You can also subscribe on YouTube and various social media channels
for the latest updates and news on Leicester City Football Club.
Come on, you foxes.
Back of the net.
It didn't happen in 49, 61, 63 or 69 when they reached the final. But the class of 2021 have delivered. Leicester City are FA Cup winners at last and are history makers at Wembley.
A modern day football miracle. They have blown their rivals away. They have blown us all away in truth. Premier League champions 2016, the amazing Leicester City!
Till I Die TV, your first choice for everything Leicester City.
Tune in
and join in now.
And now, here's your host.
Right, Chris.
All right there, how the devil are we all? Welcome along. It is Leicester Till I Die TV, and it's a midweek match. Oh, I thought we got rid of those after last week, but it's another, if you can hold your excitement in, it's another end-of-season game, if you like. I mean, our season is over. We've got nothing to play for. Norwich, they were down, obviously, a few weeks ago. They've got nothing to play for. I'm just wondering exactly how exciting this game is going to be. It's Leicester Till I Die TV. Find us on YouTube at Leicester Till I Die TV. Please give us a subscribe and click that subscribe button, as you can see there, and smash the likes and also the notification as well. And if you are listening to us on your favourite podcast platform, wherever that may be, thank you very much. It really does mean a lot. And of course, we've got this as well. Yep, www.leicestertillidie.com/shop, and there's loads of Leicester Till I Die merchandise. And if you become a gold member, sounds extremely rude, but if you want to be a gold member, then you get 5% off your purchases. Just click and join gold member and just quote it when you order so we can check it. John Whaling, good evening. How the devil are you, sir? Welcome along. Mike, how are you? Thinking about you, mate. Hope you, everything is okay at your end. I didn't realise it was the Premier. I've kind of got a little bit confused at the start, but, you know, I'm an old man. I'm easily confused. As it says there, everyone like, share and subscribe. Thank you very, very much, Mike. John says, new and long intro. No, it's the same intro. You've just never on at the start. That's what it is, John. Welcome along. And Spencer, good evening, sir. How the devil are you? Hope you are well. And everybody's basically saying hello to everybody else in the chat. And talking of gold members, yeah, he's here, my own gold member. Craig, good evening, sir. How are you?
Good evening, Chris. I'm good, thanks. Hello, everyone.
Let's start with the obvious. Is it's just going to be a boring game, isn't it?
Well, it might be a fantastic game. Nothing to play for. Kick about down the park, jumpers for goalposts, all that malarkey. You know, it could be a great opportunity to blood some of the youngsters, give them some pitch time. You know, when there's things on a game, like we saw at the weekend. You know, if one team's got more to play for than the other, then we can see how that can go. We were on the right side of that, don't forget. I think people have forgotten that. The level of performances that we turned in during the Great Escape against teams that didn't have anything to play for, nobody could keep up with us. So when you're fighting for your life, you know, your performances go up a notch. But with this one, 100%. You know, with this one, then everybody should be able to go out and play football. You know, from when you used to be kids on the park and just go out and enjoy it. So I'm hoping it's a good game.
Yeah, and you were totally right there about the Great Escape season. I think Mike's calling you a silver fox there. It's more of a gold member, to be honest with you, Mike.
Let's stay with the silver fox, Chris.
Yeah, I thought you might prefer that. But yes. Totally about the Great Escape season. You are quite right. And I did say, I actually, on Doug's channel, I actually went for a 2-1 to Everton. If only I'd stuck with that, I'd have got 3 points in the prediction league. But I find it hard to predict against my own team, so I ended up going for the draw. But I did say, will Everton want it more than us? Mm. You know, I mean, they'd only won once away all season. And they're visiting Leicester. So it was kind of obvious what was going to happen. But I don't know what it's been with the performances, because I've been saying for wait till all the team are back. You know, when it's quoting the BBC reporter, you know, judge Brendan when he's got all his team back. Well, he's got all his team back now. We've only really got Ndidi and Bertrand, but we're basically Ndidi out. He's got all his team back. And we're still not putting in the performances. I mean, yes, Rome were very good. And I saw your video at the weekend and all what you've been saying. But I know you're more optimistic about it than I am, let's put it that way. But I just think, you know, whether it was Rome, I mean, we're not this team that's just breaking through. Luke Thomas has had a couple of seasons. You know, all the youngsters, they've had seasons. It's not like, it's the first game or anything like that. Mm. but it's just the manner of the performance. You know, we've all said you lose a game of football, it's football.
Yeah.
But it's the manner in which you lose. Now, okay, that might have been Roma would just do good for us on the day. Mm-hmm. And I know Matt Piper said, you know, sometimes players just don't turn up, you know, not on purpose. They mm-hmm. just have a bad day at the office. But we've been having so much. Mm-hmm. So many, I mean, sorry.
Yeah, I think, you know, as we've talked about before, there's a few reasons. I don't think he's sorted out that front line yet. And I think that's where there's been some issues, to be honest. Going back to the Roma game, I think we do have to remember that I don't think any of those players, or very few of those players, will have ever played in an environment like that, in an atmosphere like that. And I think it took them a bit of time to come to terms with it, to be honest. And by then, we were 1-0 down and Roma could play the game the way they wanted to play. There are some issues. There's definitely some issues, you know, the obvious one that we know about. But I don't think, I don't know if anybody saw the graphic that I put up on Twitter. I put it up a couple of times over the weekend, which was Casper against Rome and the Tammy Abraham goal. And there was two graphics, one showing Casper's position just as the corner was taken and his proximity to Tammy Abraham's. And then when the ball reached Tammy Abraham's and where Casper was at that point, his initial movement was backwards. Mm. So there was a good 6 yards between the two players when the ball reaches Tammy. At the start, they were like 3 yards apart. If Casper holds his position, he commands that 6 yard box. But his first movement was backwards. And you can't react when you're moving backwards anyway. So that's something that I think people are starting to pick up on and starting to talk a little bit more about the lack of command that that Casper is giving his defenders. And we've said this so many times before, not just this channel, everybody will say it, footballers, experts will always say it. If you've got a goalkeeper who's commanding his 6 yard box, it makes the defender's job a lot easier. Keeper comes out, clears everybody up. Great. We don't have that at the moment. And it's a big thing that needs sorting out. He's a great shot stopper, but without commanding that box, we're always going to be in trouble.
It is. And I read somewhere, I think it was The Guardian I was just surprised at me reading The Guardian, but it was in The Guardian. And I think the sports writer would go like, Kasper Schmeichel, basically, is he all that, you know? Yeah. And we know he's got faults with his game, the kicking it out, the, you know, when he kicks it out, it goes out. So maybe that's why Brendan's got him playing the short ball out, because at least then should go to a Leicester player. But I just think if he stays where he is and Abrahams runs into him, he gets the free kick.
Yeah.
Because you know you can't touch goalkeepers these days, which stops the goal.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering, and we're possibly going to get this like with Vardy as well. Are we sort of seeing these players now through blue tinted spectacles a little bit? And you know,
I think we are a little bit, and it's difficult because you know they have been fantastic players for us. You know, you know, quite rightly, will go down as legends of the club. But every player, you know, has a peak, and I think we've got one or two who are just starting to come down the other side of that peak at the moment. And Casper, sadly, seems to be one of them. As I say, fantastic shot stopper. But the modern-day goalkeeper, you need more than that. And I'm not saying that we should get rid of him, but I think he's being protected a little bit. You know, he's played in most of the cup games as well. I don't know. I mean, there was talk earlier in the season that he was thinking of going. You know, we talk about Yuri switching off as soon as he mentally made that decision that he was going. Has Casper done the same? You know, we don't know, but it was mooted earlier that he was making noises.
Mike says there, Casper Schmeichel maybe needs to develop his footballing style. You're my age, maybe I'm you're a little bit younger, string chicken maybe, but you know, we had a certain goalkeeper called Gordon Banks who had won not just an FA Cup, he'd actually gone and won a World Cup whilst at Leicester, and we sold him because of a young goalkeeper coming through. Now you know, maybe that, you know, we look at that and think, like, okay, to me, Danny Ward's a great goalkeeper.
Yeah.
You know, and I think he should be given his chance. And then you've got Iverson, who for me it appears to be doing well wherever he goes, and that you know they want to keep him for another season, etc., on loan. But then he moves into that Danny Ward position, and we've obviously still got Jupokovic hanging about somewhere. I don't know what he does, but he's like a bat in the roof. But you know, I mean, just looking now, Casper is. I don't know how old, it doesn't say on the bio, but you know, he's mid-30s at least, isn't he? Maybe we have to, and it's the same, let's say with Jamie Vardy a little bit, maybe there comes a time when we say we love these players, but we've got to develop other wings. Would Peter Shilton have been what he was? Well, he probably wouldn't have stayed, to be honest with you. I think it was almost a case of him or me. And it was a brave decision. And you know, we've got Wales international, you know, and people can say, well, it's Wales, etc. But he plays bloody good for Wales. Mike, he's obviously, he's Welsh. Danny Ward is 10 times better with his feet than Casper from watching him for Wales. Not just a few times, but in around 10 games, Danny Ward distributes the ball so well and starts the attack. So maybe, like I say, it's whether Brendan's got the balls to do that, really.
That's it. You know what? I was thinking, I know we're not going to do a team, but I was thinking of the team that I might put out tomorrow night. And
I did think about it, to be honest with you, but I'll explain why not later.
Yeah, and I would give serious thought to giving Danny Ward a game tomorrow night. I know Casper's been on this long run of unbroken games, blah, blah, blah. But at the end of it, it's the club. I've said this about a couple of players. You know, I was saying it to the fan last week, the Everton, to Elton, who was fantastic. If nobody, if people didn't see that Everton preview, then please go back and have a look, because Elton Wellesby, those of a certain age will know him as being the sort of anchor man of ITV for a few years, was on fantastic form. But we were talking on that about, it's not about individuals. It's about what's best for the club.
Yes, and he did,
people around there have to be strong enough to make the decisions that are right for the club. And I would like to see... there's two scenarios. For me, Danny Ward gets some pitch time between now and the end of the season. Or he's one of those that we sell to give Iverson an opportunity to come through. Start being on the bench or whatever. I think he's been on loan long enough.
Yeah.
Danny Ward is someone who will command a decent fee, you know, and if we're looking to boost the coffers, he definitely deserves a chance with us. But again, he may be the one who gets sacrificed to bring some more money in to move Iverson further
would
up.
Would you sacrifice Schmeichel or Danny Ward?
I don't think you're going to get any money for Schmeichel. At the level of where his contract is, I think he's got another year, maybe two. His age, for me, you're not getting a big fee for him. I think you would at least recoup the money we spent for Ward. He still hasn't had the opportunity to lower his fee up from the back of the Euros when he played really well for Wales. So I think he would command a decent fee. And sometimes if you want to bring money in and you've got to see the bigger picture of we need to boost the funds because we know there's a serious rebuild, then for me, that may be somewhere we have to go.
Fair point. And Barnes and Madison were being, again, the same point is being made on a few back pages.
I know today. Which one of those two I would keep, that's for sure.
Go on then.
Well, it wouldn't be Barnes. Yeah. I think for me, Barnes needs to move, I think, and it may be controversial with some people. Barnes needs to move for the sake of his career, I think. Players do like that. I think Dwight McNeil's another one at Burnley. I think you get to a point and sometimes you've got to move to kickstart it. Damari Gray had to do it. You know, whether he's got that long term at Everton, I don't know. But sometimes you have to move on to give yourself a better opportunity of realising your potential.
Players reach the peak, like with managers as well. Sometimes, you know, the fact that a manager's been there 10 years or a player's been with you 10 years, there comes a point when you're going to say, well, yeah, if I want to change, you've got to, you move to develop, if you like, and improve. Spencer says there, do you think it's time to give Tielemans a rest? Yes, I would. I think he's been, he's played too much. But again, I want to come on to that in a second.
Yeah.
Terry, big up Craig. Your post-match video from your car after the Everton game summed up the match beautifully.
Cheers, Terry.
You got a fan. Mike, I read something that Ricardo is out for the season. Obviously, there's three games, to be honest with you. If somebody got sent off against Everton, we wouldn't have seen him for the rest of the season. LDH, good evening, sir. How the devil are you? Mike was saying then about Danny Ward. James Dunlop, good evening, sir. How are you? I'm presuming you are very happy at the moment being an Everton fan. David says, he's saying, Mike, they're just talking among themselves a bit. Scott, good evening, sir. How the devil are you? Welcome along and welcome to Static as well. Still going to end up in fourth, Stat. Let us know what you think. Next is hit that button and subscribe. Yes, please, please do. Now, the reason I wasn't going to pick a team, A, it's been difficult all season, and I might just throw you in on something else. I might ask you, and I forgot to ask you this in advance, one to watch from the other side, but we'll maybe come on to that later if you've got any ideas. But, of course, this has been in the paper a lot. Well, say been in the paper. It's been in the Leicester Mercury. Leicester may blood youngsters in Premier League after excellent showings. Yeah. I mean, I remember saying when we got Brendan, when he signed from Celtic, we had him with about 10 games to go. Mm-hmm. And I think he learnt more about the squad of players he was inheriting from those 10 games than any pre-season match that he was going to play, whoever it's against. You know,
true.
You get a big name in, yes, it's great, the fans love it, and we'll probably have one again this season, we always do. But the chances are we're not expected to win. It's just the case we're seeing them at the stadium. And then if it's, you know, quite often, well, again, every season, there's one game where there's two games kicking off at the same time. It's half a team and half a team on one. Waste of time. They are purely a fitness thing. Nothing else. Not certainly not from the teams we play anyway, you know, no disrespect to them. For me, three games to go. Just get the youngsters in. They did all right against Watford in the FA Cup.
Yeah.
Give them a go for those three games and let's see what they've got.
No, I agree. I mentioned something earlier. I think I wanted to see Callum Wright play, but because he's had a fantastic season on loan at Cheltenham. But I think, as someone pointed out to me, that he's not registered in the squad, and they were thinking he's already 23, which means he wouldn't come under the age limit where he's a homegrown player to be able to play. So not sure he can. But the one pictured in the middle there, Sammy Braybrook, has had a fantastic season. Under-18s England captain. We saw little snippets of Alves against Watford, a thing, who looked like he had that cocky nature about him, which we like to see.
Yeah.
Young Popov has been scoring a lot of goals, a striker.
Lewis Brunt.
In the team. So definitely, I'd like to see. I don't think you'll go carte blanche and bring a lot of them in, but one or two with maybe another couple on the bench. I would definitely go down that route. And I think it's right. I'd be looking to rest Tielemans and maybe give Samara a bit more of a forward-thinking role, to be honest, and see what he can do.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's talks of clear-outs, and to be honest with you, it's, you know, it's silly season for the press when it comes to, you know, again, we're going to end up with a five-a-side team if we believe everything we read in the paper.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's dead games, you know, the games that we're not going to go down, and, all right, we might get a couple more million by finishing a place or two higher, but I think that's worth checking those players out because we've just signed, was it 15 of them, gave them extended contracts or something? So there's a good bunch there. We've got this training facility. Yes, let's use it, like they say. Let's just use it. Andrew says, when we lose to Norwich, they will just blame the youngsters. I don't care if we lose. If we lose to Norwich and we'll say Chelsea and then Southampton, If the youngsters are playing, so what? They're getting a bit of a... It's the experience, isn't it, as well, and just being right around the squad.
It is, but there's so much toxicity around Brendan at the moment that, as I put on a piece, I was speaking to Neil earlier on his channel, tweeting him, and saying that... You know, you're either on one side of the fence or the other with Brendan at the moment, and either way, you will fit the narrative. So if you're a Brendan in and he gives the youngsters a chance and it doesn't work, then at least he's given the youngsters a chance. If he puts them in and you're on the Brendan out, it doesn't work and we get beaten again, he's an absolute fool and doesn't know what he's doing. So for me, he's got to be strong enough. The Leicester fans have got to be strong enough to just stick it out. It's getting boring, to be honest, all this Brendan out for me. You know, I think as you go through the season, you know, managers learn about players. As we learn about players, we see who can cut it, we see who can't. But at that point, you're stuck with the squad you've got and you've got to make the most of it. So to say that he doesn't really deserve a summer to try and rebuild, I think is a little bit harsh to be. Well, I think it's very harsh to be honest.
No, I agree with you. You know, I think as fans, we can criticise and say he's got that wrong. In our opinion, he's got that wrong in the game, or he's done that wrong, or why did he do that? And I've been very critical of him at times this season, as you well know. But I don't think you can sack a manager on one bad season when... We're not in the relegation. We've never been in a relegation fight. We're not going to be in a relegation fight. And whether we finish 15th or 14th, who cares? And at the end of the day, we got into a European semi-final.
Yeah. I mean, I think if we were kicking around, you know, if we were going into the World Cup break next November and we were still kicking around 14th or 15th, then there may be a different question to ask.
Of course. Yes.
But for now, as I said to Neil as well, I don't want us to become the new Watford. That as soon as a manager has a bad patch or is below expectations, then we boot him out. And then the next one comes in. And what do we do if he doesn't cut it? Boot him out and boot him out. For me, I think there's very little of loyalty. You know, we talked about it before. You know, even with David Moyes... Man United fans were saying maybe we should have stuck with David Moyes.
Yeah.
Through everything that they went through. Even a club as big as Manchester United couldn't get the managerial appointment right because they kept having knee-jerk reactions because nobody could live up to who was there before. And we're getting to a similar point now that we've had some good seasons, and as soon as you don't meet that again, then your head's on the chopping block, you know. I think it is a careful what you wish for.
110%. David, good evening. How are you? Yeah, he liked how you summed that up, Craig.
Thanks, David.
I agree totally. We were allowed to be critical of a manager or players. We're fans. We have our opinions. It's why we do this. Yeah. But, you know, getting rid of Brendan. See, to me, every time you get rid of a manager, you're basically ripping up whatever plan you've got and starting again.
Yeah.
So Brendan's bringing these players through. So we, let's say, get another manager in, and who out there is any better? You get players then that he'll come in and go, I don't want him, and I don't like him, and I don't play that way, so he can go. And suddenly you're starting from scratch again.
Well, I said this before, you know, I think that the modern football club now needs to look to how... they run it on the continent where the club has a style of football and the club has an identity, not the manager. And in the Premier League, it tends to be that it's the identity of the way that the manager likes to play, not the club. So therefore, when you change a manager, you change it. Man, you've changed the way they play four or five times. Spurs have gone through the same. You know, and whether you like it or not, these are bigger clubs than Leicester City, but they struggle to get it right. And that's because they switch the identity of the way they play every time they bring a manager in, not saying, right, we're going to take some time. This is going to be the way that we play football. And then it becomes when you want to change manager, you look for someone who fits that mold, not necessarily we'll just get the shiniest, brightest new manager and whatever he wants to do, whether he wants to play a different way, rip the team up, we allow him to do it. You can't do that if you want a sustainable football club.
No, no. And I mean, you know, I know they say about Watford, oh, you know, that's how they do it in Italy. And in Italy, you know, they've got Italian owners. And I don't know if you watched Match of the Day on Saturday night, I think it was, or some one of the two nights. And Alan Shearer was talking about Watford. So it was whatever day they played, it was a Saturday. And he said, you know, what club in their right mind sacks a manager when you sat in sort of 12th place with seven games gone into a season?
Yeah.
Watford. And you've only got to look at what, you know, to them to see that it doesn't work always changing managers. And I think, as I've said this many times, you look up football fan in the dictionary and it says fickle. And we all are. We all are. You know, you can sit there and go, oh, that, you know, just Perez is rubbish. We should be getting rid of him. And he'll get a couple of goals and have a, and he's, I knew he'd come good. You know what I mean? So we are fickle. But
as I say, you're right, though. But just because we are, as it stands, Brendan in, doesn't mean that we agree with everything that he's done. No, you know, but that's the way that it's portrayed almost, that, you know, if we don't want to get rid of him, then we buy into everything he says. But that's the modern world, isn't it? If you're not for something, that you're against it. You know, there is no middle ground. And I think there is middle ground. Anybody who follows football for any period of time can see that we have had problems this season, and they're not all injury-based. There has been some serious tactical errors. There's some serious things that we've not managed to sort out, obviously set pieces and the like, but you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater.
No, you don't. I know people aren't always fans of it, but I was listening to Talk Sport this morning, Jim White and Simon Jordan, and I do like Simon Jordan. He doesn't take any prisoners and he doesn't care if he upsets anybody. But I don't know if you heard it at all, but they were talking about football being sort of a bit woke at the moment, is that apparently the Tottenham Supporters Trust has come out and said that we shouldn't be singing to Liverpool, have you signed on yet? Or, you know, have you got a job? And we're all going like, you know, what is happening with the world? And I think the football's so TV-based now, and so many of our fans... I mean, it's like with the Man United, you know, we complain about Man United, but so many of their plans have only ever known success under Ferguson. They've grown up with that success. Yeah. And maybe a lot of our fans have grown up with us winning the Premier League, getting to the quarterfinals of the Champions League, winning the FA Cup, winning the English Super Cup, getting into Europe two seasons. And the same. We have to take stock that sometimes you do get a bad season. And like you say, if this time next season we're still where we are, then that's a different question.
Yeah.
You know, that is a different question. You know, in any other business, you know, if you do something wrong at work, your boss won't just come out and say, Craig, you made a real gut balls end sack, get out. He'll sit down with you. He'll talk to you, hopefully. I don't know your boss.
But I was going to say, hold on, so too. You never know.
No, you doubt it. But you know what I'm getting at?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Talk you through it, and they'll try to say, right, what's going wrong? And what can we do to help you and help you? So it's no different with football managers. But, you know, we're all managers. That's the problem. There's 30,000 managers in the stadium every week, isn't there? You know,
there is.
Yeah, that's our head-to-head against Norwich. Seven times we've played them in the Premier League. It feels like it is every other season, isn't it? Let's be honest. We've had four wins, they've had two, and we've had one draw between us. And that is the form table going in, which doesn't look good, let's be honest with you, not going to lie. But Norwich... I always said that once a team gets relegated, they usually play with a bit of passion. I mean, I've got, I don't know if you remember this game. The last game against Tottenham Hotspur at Filbert Street.
Yeah, I've got that very programme.
Yeah. And we'd gone down and we won that game.
We did.
Against 2-1. The odds, but probably.
Matt Piper.
But Norwich... They've just not changed, have they? We're down, so what? You know, there's not that freedom. whether they'll turn up at Leicester or not tomorrow, I don't know. I mean, what do you think of this Norwich side and the way they're at the moment?
It's tricky, isn't it? Because it hasn't really changed, you know. And if ever there was an example of changing manager didn't change anything, that's it. You know, Norwich are it.
Mm. Yes.
Nothing's really changed. You can't really see a change of identity, which in some ways may be good based on what I was talking about, that they still want to try and play football, but they just haven't got it. What they need is to stop coming straight back up. And I know that may sound stupid, but they probably need two or three seasons to gel a team together that is then capable of staying up. What they get is they go down, they change staff, and then they get a team that's good enough to get up but never to stay here. So it's a bit of a cycle that they're in, and I'm not sure how they break it. What you have to say is, though, and probably Norwich fans don't like it, that the owners of that club have not put that club in danger. They haven't spent beyond their means, and sadly, that means that they have become a bit of a yo-yo club at the moment. But at the end of it, the club is the most important thing. And you've seen teams like Derby most recently who have tried to throw money at a situation and how badly that can affect them. You know, they almost went out of business, you know, and they're not the only club.
Leeds United.
Exactly. So to be fair to Norwich, you know, they are suffering from running their club sensibly. Unfortunately.
And you could, I suppose, to some degree, almost put Watford in that and Fulham. And it'd be interesting to see if Fulham come up, if they can stay up. Bournemouth, I don't think you can call them a yo-yo club because at the end of the day, you know, they came up and, well, I live down here, so I'm like, welcome back. Yes. Mm-hmm. I've got a game that I can get on the bus to go and see at last. Welcome back, Bournemouth. I was more happy than that, than Leicester getting the semi-final of the Conference League. But, yeah, I know, Toad, it is hard. And, you've got, as Mike said there, you know, Bury, that's another prime example, you know. And you've got to be careful when these owners come in. And I was watching a YouTube show. I think I said I like watching these HITC sevens, where there's just sort of 20-minute vids on different things. And I think they did one on Portsmouth when Mandrich sold out. And you don't know who you're getting in. And it's not Mandrich's fault, obviously, because, you know, he did it, and I presume that they were checked at the time. But it's scary how things can go wrong. And when you look at Norwich, okay, they've got Delia Smith, but she isn't a Sheikh Mohammed or anything like that. She hasn't got that sort of money to throw about.
No, she can't be accused of cooking the books, that's for sure.
Hey, I'm sorry, I've got to get it out. Yes. So I thought you're going to say
I can say, but that it's a difficult thing, is it? Because you have to try and temper the expectations of the fans with making sure that there's a club still there for the fans to support. And you know, in this day and age, when you see the richer clubs getting richer and just throwing money around willy nilly, it's hard to keep up. So you do need, you know, if those clubs. It may seem a false economy, but I think it's true that if Norwich can stay down for a couple of years, two or three seasons, build a proper structure, a proper team that then comes up, because then you really need to stay in the Premier League two, three, four, five seasons to actually get your club on an even keel.
Yes.
You know, we've seen teams that have done it. Palace have been up for a few years, starting to slowly increase the money they'll spend on players. Good manager in place now. They look a team that's going places, but that's not happened overnight. You know, they've managed to do that on a fairly sensible footing. And I know they've come in for some criticism down the years in terms of not splashing the cash, but they've done it slowly and surely. And eventually you get the right manager in with the right players and everything just clicks.
I'll ask you this, and I don't mean this in the way that it might come across, but maybe we won the Premier League too soon.
I'm going to say not, because I don't think we ever will again.
No. I that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I know
what you mean. I think it was just an anomaly, and it was that perfect alignment of everything that just happened. Yeah. But I think it, you know, we've talked about it before. It did raise expectations. Mm-hmm. And then again, as I say now, you know, we've finished fifth, but the anti Rogers brigade sees that as bottling it, which, okay, you could argue we did. But at the end of it, we still finished fifth in the Premier League for two consecutive seasons, which is phenomenal, you know. So, you know, it's not the doom and gloom that a lot of people want to paint.
I've just noticed on this one, going back to 2002, and I don't know if anybody can see it there, but the Tottenham Hotspur logo.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I didn't know they ever had a logo like that, but sorry. But a point that, I'll go off piece a little bit here, because we were talking Derby. And as Scott said here, we may have to ground share with the Rams next season. Mm. Now, to be honest with you, I don't have a problem with that. I hope most Leicester fans wouldn't be a case of, you know, looking for trouble every time that they play at home, you know, so to speak. But, you know, we've got to remember, we've been there. Mm. We've been out of business.
Yeah.
You know, we nearly had to ground share with Tigers. And the rivalry is with Derby. It's always there. They're an East Midlands club, so obviously there's going to be the rivalry. I don't want to see them go out of business. I'm happy for them to go down to League One.
Yeah.
As I was with Coventry, etc. But I wouldn't want to see them go out of business, because I know how I felt when I thought our club was going to do that.
Yeah. At the end of it, we are all football fans, and
yes.
At the end of it, you know, we all come together and we support our national teams. You know, we forget club rivalries at that point. But I wouldn't have a problem with it at all.
No.
You know, as I say, one, it gets them back on an even keel and they can, you know, build again. Not a problem. But also it brings more money into our club as well.
It does. That shouldn't be
scoffed at either.
And the other choice for them is Nottingham Forest, so it's a bit like we're down in the deep blue sea.
I think it's Chris Kirchner or whatever. I think he's been given a bit more time now and protection. Mm. I think the looming shadow of Mike Ashley has caused people to think, okay, we'll give him a little bit more time to get it sorted. So, we'll see how that plays out.
We wouldn't change the seat colours, I'm sure, and I'm sure they wouldn't change the strip.
Well, it'd be more revenue for the club, but no, I don't think the infrastructure of the club would change at all, or the ground.
No, not at all. And like I say, I'd say, welcome, come here and get yourself, like I say, because we've been there, and let's just say it wasn't nice. Mike says here, you know, Newport and Leicester have both been through administration issues. So like me, I would never want Cardiff to do well, but would want them to never go out of business. Yeah. Sorry, I was struggling. I should have gone to Specsavers, Mike. It's true. We nearly went twice, of course. It wasn't just the once. Mm. It nearly went twice. But anyway, moving on from Derby. And now, do you ever look at form tables, Craig?
I do, but usually only when I put my losing bets on.
Well, do you, I mean, you know, we could look at the past 5, 6, 10 games, however much, but I think if you're going to do a form, you've got to look at the most recent table. And unfortunately, when we do look at it, we see this. Leicester City are in 16th place.
Mm-hmm.
With 2 points. I mean, you know, mind you, having said that, Man United are in 15th, so Chelsea are in 12th.
Yeah.
You look at these things and you can, for any stats, you know, Labour can make one stat look bad and Conservatives can make one stat look good and vice versa. But it doesn't look particularly good, does it?
It doesn't. It shows you what an unpredictable league it is. And I said this right at the start of the season. The Premier League is going to get harder and harder and harder because Most teams are hanging around. It seems to be the same few teams that are going up and down at the moment. The majority of the teams are hanging around in the Premier League, which means they get more and more money in, which means they can go and skim off the best players from around Europe. And it just becomes tougher and tougher. So, yeah. I think this expectation that, you can, any club, outside of those that have limitless pots of money, that any club can guarantee consistent top 10 finishes is ridiculous, to be honest.
I mean, Manchester City look like they've got Haaland. I mean, does there need to be sort of a cap on that? Because, I asked this question on another show I was on, and is the Premier League in danger of becoming like Scottish football?
What, crap?
Well, yes, but
that was an obtuse comment. I know what you mean. You could say the same for Spanish football, couldn't you, really?
Yeah. Although that's indeed changed a little bit. Football, how did Poch manage to go to PSG? In fact, that was the example I was using last night on the European Review show. Hmm. Poch goes to PSV, and how can you lose when you're managing PSV? But he managed to.
The short answer, I don't think so. Previously, because of what I've just said, that I think it's going to get harder and harder because the rest of the teams are constantly improving. And players, I don't know, we're going through a cycle at the moment that players are happy to not play. They're happy to somehow, collect trophies without even playing. I'm not sure, is that... At the end of it, when you look back on your hall of medals and you think, I didn't play in most of that. I did just enough to get a medal. I wonder if John Terry looks back on his Champions League medal with as much fondness as he does his others, knowing damn well that all he did was put his kit on in the stand and come out and get his medal. I don't know. But players can get good money at most clubs these days. So I think that gap, unless you're really greedy, but for me, if you're a player, you want to play. So, and the more money that comes into the game, it means that the more clubs can pay wages that can pick off. There's big squads out there, and I would expect us to be looking around the edges of the Man City squad, of the Liverpool, of the Chelsea squads, to pick up players who are very good and would be great for us, but are not getting enough football. So I think it's going to get tougher. Haaland is an interesting one. Obviously, they've managed to pick him up for a relatively small fee of like 60 million euros. So you're talking probably not far off the money that Yuri would go for, in the 40 million, so 45, 50 million or whatever. But I think there's a big question mark over him because I could see him going to the likes of Man United. I could see him going to the likes of Liverpool where he has space to run into. That's when he looks like he's at his best. Is he going to be good with his back to goal, playing little intricate bits of football that Man City want to play? I'm not sure. For me, the jury's out on that one, so it'll be interesting to see how that goes.
But I think, backing up what you're saying, I think it was a few seasons ago when you noticed when, like, West Brom with Johnny Evans, and I think Man City offered 30 million for him in January, and they didn't have to sell because they were earning that much themselves as a Premier League club, so it happens. But if we go back to the form, and let's just have a look at Leicester now. This is our form this season. So our home form, 17 we've played. We won 8. We drew 4, lost 5. And we've scored more than we've let in. So it's not looking really too bad. But if we look at Norwich, who obviously are away, then that... The scary thing here is that they've only won 2 games away from home. Hashtag Everton, one game. I can just see what's going to happen here. They're minus 27 goal difference just on their away form. But then again, like you say, does it matter? Is it really a game that people are bothered about?
I think it matters. I think it does matter. In the bigger scheme of things, it doesn't. But I think in terms of the narrative that's going around at the moment, it matters. And I think they will, you know, want to be finishing in the top half of the table. I think that's got to be the aim at the moment. Going back to Everton and comparing it to this game, don't forget that was an Everton team that had just beaten Chelsea, who have been in the top three all the time. But people seem to forget that bit. So they had something to play for. They had that. And a fantastic backing from their fans. Everton fans were great again.
Yes.
I'm not sure there's going to be that level of backing for Norwich on a Wednesday night coming across the A47 or whatever it is. I can't see it. So it does matter. It will matter more if we lose, that's for sure.
Yes. Oh, I'm sure it will. But I mean, personally, so we talked about the youngsters. Do you go for mixing a few youngsters in? I mean, that's the way I would go, to be honest with you. Would you do the same?
I'm not sure. I may give one, two maximum. I was thinking of the team in my own head. I think there's some. No, I agree with you out there. As I say, we want to finish top half. I think there's still some fringe players who need pitch time as well. You know, Samari's been disappointing this season, so I'd like to see him in there and see how he can do. I think Tielemans and Dewsbury Hall, to be honest, both need a rest. They don't need a rest because it's almost the end of the season. But for me, Dewsbury Hall looks like he's out on his legs at the moment. He will give everything he's got, but he just looks tired. And I think a lot of that is that we've apart from Dewsbury Hall, I don't think we've got anybody across the middle of that park who has an engine, who really works hard. Lookman does in patches, but other people, you know, we're praising all Brighton, but at the end of it, he can't do it at the level that we need a midfielder to do it. Harvey Barnes can't do it, doesn't do it. I don't know if he's got it anymore, whether it's just an attitude. You look at the successful teams and how much pitch they cover. For me, that's the big issue that he needs to sort out. Yes, we've got some talented footballers, but we don't have pitch coverage. We don't have athletes. Tamari doesn't look like an athlete to me, so it'll be interesting. As I say, I want to see him get some pitch time, see if he can build up some stamina and see what he looks like at this level. So I think those kind of fringe players need some time as well. But yeah, there's definitely one or two youngsters who should at least be on the bench.
Yeah. Key points from Rendon's press conference. James Maddison and James Justin will be available, but Ricardo Pereira won't be in the squad.
Yeah,
I think we've discussed that. Roger said, "They're determined to get a result against Norwich and finish the season as strongly as we can." He added that his side must defend properly and need to keep us clean sheet. I mean, you could almost copy and paste that from the start of the season, couldn't you?
You can, but I do think, you know, we do look at the back line, but I don't think they've particularly had a lot of protection. Even if you had Ndidi in there, you're not getting a lot of protection from Albright. You're not getting a lot of protection from Maddison. You're not getting a lot of protection from Tielemans because none of them have an engine. You know, I'd argue with anybody that Albrighton, Barnes and Tielemans have the necessary engine capacity to play as a Premier League midfielder or from what you want. And you need that. You know, if you're going to play a pressing game, you've got to have it in. You've got to have energy. You know, Man City can do it because they've got a big squad and they can play for 60 minutes full out and they bring somebody else on. Liverpool's midfield, take Thiago out of that. Henderson, Fabinho, Oxlade-Chamberlain, Milner. These players don't have a lot of ability. They don't have as much ability as we have. Take Milner out of that. But they have engines. They can get around the pitch, and they do all the dirty work, which allows the players up front to just stay up front. They haven't got to be tracking back. You don't see Salah tracking back, you know, because those midfield players are just doing the job. They're not being particularly creative, but they close down pressure. They win the ball back high up the pitch. We don't have those players. We don't have that pitch coverage, which means we get more and more waves of attacks against us, and we've conceded goals.
We have, we have. And he then went on to say, on the top half aim, he said, the expectations have increased, and that means the disappointment increases. Mm-hmm. I always have the bigger picture of where we're at. It's important to finish as high as we can and take confidence into pre-season. It is, but like I say, I think we've also got to remember, and like I said, it's, are you a glass half full or are you a glass half empty person? Straight after the Roma match, very much a glass half empty. Mm-hmm. But looking back on it, there's a lot of teams that would have liked to have got into a European semi-final. and we did it. And then he says, on conceding goals from set pieces. Now then, he says, it has been an issue all season. Yeah, no shit, Sherlock.
Well done.
Something we don't know. Adding, a lot of it boils down to the courage in the team to get first contact. We will be better next year once we've had the summer. We have very limited time to work on. We've had very limited time to work on it, so it can be difficult. I guess because of the number of players that have been out and coming back, and some come back, then others go out, and we have had Europe to contend with as well.
Exactly. We've had, for a long time, we've had two games a week.
Yes.
You know, all you get is in between those games, you just get recovery time. You don't get a lot of working on this, that, and the other. You know, it could be that, you know, it's almost building up to a perfect storm for next season, because Brendan said we need a refresh. Hopefully he gets the time. There'll be some money coming in from the sale of Tielemans, maybe one or two others. We won't have European football, so we'll just be playing the normal games. We won't have these silly Thursday Sundays. So next season, I think there will be no excuses. There can't be any excuses. You'll have had all the summer to work on this. You'll have got the players in that you've identified during this season who are not good enough. He's saying all the right things, which I like. I'm going to say, if he wasn't seeing these things, then I'd be worried. So now he needs to put it into practice and have a really strong first half of the season.
Yeah. I mean, Terry says we need a tall guy up front. He said earlier about a tall guy at the back. Do we give Vestergaard a few games to run out, see what he's made of? I was listening to Talk Sport again earlier, the joy of being at home. And, you know, they were actually saying, they were talking about Southampton and Ralph getting booed, etc. And they're saying, like, what can he do? Because the way that club is run is they bring young players through, and then as soon as they're good, they sell them. That's how they compete. And they said, they have lost two good defenders in Vestergaard and Bertrand, or Bertrand, his French cousin, of course. that did make me smile, I've got to say. But yeah, let's give him a run out, because he's not had a decent or a chance to prove himself, because he's been coming into a team that was so fractured at the back.
I would say, for me, Vestergaard is a centre half who can play in a three. I wouldn't trust him in a four, not because he's not good on the ball, but he doesn't fit anything that Brendan has talked about in terms of the levels of aggression and the desire to get first contact on a ball. He doesn't bring that. For his size, he's really disappointing. I don't think I've seen anybody that tall as disappointing since we had Ian Ormondroyd, to be honest. So for me, he can play in a three because that allows him to come out. The same way we saw Fofana when he played a three against Everton, Fofana had carte blanche really to bring the ball out because the other two would fill in beside him. So I think if you were doing that, if he was playing in a three, then I could see Vestergaard playing, but not in a two.
No, but then that's an option we've got with him if that's how Brendan decides to go, you know.
I agreed with you. How the devil are you?
Sorry, Craig.
I was just telling Ant that I actually agreed with him there about playing him in a three.
Well, I'm surprised that anybody argues with you. You know, little Craig, the, you know, everybody's favourite granddad.
I'm becoming a minority of the voice, I feel.
Talk, thank you very much for all you've been doing for me. Welcome along. Talk has got a new channel out, by the way, guys. It's Football Versus Cancer. It's not in the description for at the moment because and it was too late, but in future shows it were the links will be in the chat below. It's on Twitter, Facebook, Football Versus Cancer. It's also on YouTube, and it's all about male cancer. And it was raising money for the charity. So if you haven't yet, do get over to Football Versus Cancer YouTube channel and make sure you give it a subscribe. And Talk is, I know he's a Man United fan, but he's really nice. And get over there and give him some support. Everyone was getting excited because after 3 minutes, Aston Villa were in the lead, 1-0. And then after 6 minutes, Liverpool have drawn level 1-1. A must win, I think, for Liverpool tonight. Oh, anyway, that'd be Liverpool. I don't know. We have our fair share of sort of bad refs, don't we?
You could say that.
Yeah, this is who we've got tomorrow. And I must admit, I was feeling okay because I don't really know Simon Hooper. He doesn't stick out to me as anybody that's particularly bad. And then I got down to the fourth official.
Jonathan Moss went up in my estimation earlier this year when I discovered that he has a record shop in Leeds.
Does he?
It's called The Vinyl Whistle. And apparently he was in Leeds as a student or whatever. And he owns a record shop in Leeds. So fair play to him for that. But Simon Hooper has the body shape that he could be the new Jonathan Moss, to be honest.
that bad, eh? But we'll have a look at just some not a lot of people know that things here. Leicester City striker Jamie Vardy has been involved in 21 goals in his last 14 Premier League appearances against promoted sides, scoring 14 and assisting in a further 7. You know, we talked about Schmeichel earlier.
Yeah.
And is it the time to do a Gordon Banks and what have you? I'm not saying we should get rid of him, but again, these last three games, has it? I mean, I always said that Jamie Vardy, I would love to see him becoming our super sub, our David Fairclough, if you like, coming on for the last 20 minutes, you know, when he's unable to play the full 90. And we've had the problem that when he does play, we don't get the ball to him. So, you know, what's the point of having these strikers on? But I just wonder whether we should start getting ready for life without him, as in 90 minutes week in, week out. And again, is this a good opportunity for Brendan to try something different up front? Or has he tried it and it hasn't really been great?
Well, I think it was interesting that he did it for the second half against Roma and he did it against Everton, that he switched the formation to three centre-backs with wing-backs, which allowed him to play two up front. So I think that's benefited Daka. I think it benefited Iheanacho. And if you look at the up to Everton scoring in that game, we probably created more chances in the first 10 minutes of a game against Everton than we had done for a long, long time.
Yeah.
You know, Pickford was beaten and there was a clearance off the line by Yerimina. We had two or three opportunities where Pickford made good saves. And I think it's easy to forget those bits because at the end of it, we didn't get the goals. If we'd have come up against an average keeper against Everton, we'd have probably won that game, but we didn't. Yeah. So he has gone back to that, and I think in that formation, the three centre halves with wing backs allows him to play the two because he gets his width from the wing backs, and he's not relying on a front three where the middle guy becomes isolated. So that works. So I'd like to see him continue that with two, whether that's Daka, you know, a combination of Daka, Iheanacho or Vardy. But I think you're right in that Vardy's going to be a more of a bit part player, whether it's starting and running himself into the ground or whether it is coming on late when defenders are being tired out. But I think we're definitely seeing that point of Vardy's career now.
I think it's come, I think, a bit earlier than most people. I thought next season, but, you know, it would be his last. But I think, just think with his injuries now, he's taking so long.
I think the injuries
are
catching up a little bit, yeah.
Yeah. Terry said there, thought we had a life without Vardy for most of the year. We have, but we've always had that, Vardy's going to be back.
Yeah.
Vardy's going to be back. And we can't always rely on that. Ant says then, I totally agree about, is it George Hurst on loan at Portsmouth? It is a big step up, but, you know, look at Barnes when he came back from West Brom. And I know it's Portsmouth. And look at KDH when he came after a season at Luton. Throw them in and they'll either sink or they'll swim.
Yeah, the difficulty with that is that, you know, if you're going to play somebody like Hurst, you've got to play to his strengths. You can't say we're going to put Hurst in and we want him to play like Daka or we want him to play like Vardy. And then when he can't or doesn't, then everybody's saying that he's no good. You know, you've got to be clever enough to know the strengths of your players and then play to them.
Yes. I think Ante is having a little, starting up a little anti-Mings group on the side in the chat.
Oh, I'm happy to take part in that.
Yeah, he's not Mings' greatest fan by the look of it. Norwich are winless in the last 15 Premier League away matches this season. Yeah, well, that's going to end, isn't it? against sides who were in the division last term. Their two away wins this season have come at Brentford and Watford, both of whom were promoted alongside the Canaries. Mm. Well, if anybody, like you say, with Everton, if anybody wants to end a bad run, just come and play Leicester. Leicester are unbeaten in all three of their Premier League home meetings with Norwich City. Now, these matches produced just 4 goals scored in total. Wow. We're looking for a goal fest then, aren't we? I can see a match of the day, last match coming up here.
Yeah.
Not a lot of people know this either. Norwich lost the reverse fixture against Leicester 2-1 back in August. Only in one of the last 7 Premier campaigns in which the sides have met have the Canaries lost both league games against the Foxes in 15 and 16. We know what happened. We know what happened then. Feeling confident?
Yes. Yeah, you know me, I'm the glass half full. I am a positive soul most of the time. So, yeah, I'm feeling confident about this one. I think everybody will have felt the disappointment of the weekend. Mm. Players, manager. I just hope that we have a strong start and the crowd get behind the team and we have a great performance. But no, I'm positive that we'll get a decent result.
Yeah, and like you say, we have to take it as part of the long-term structure.
Yeah, you know? Sometimes you have to take one step back to have two forward, don't you?
You do. I honestly don't believe we'd necessarily be where we are now if we had gone down if we hadn't gone down to League One that season.
Yeah,
you know, you could say, well, you know, we would have stuck with Ollie, but then Ollie took Blackpool up. But I think Leicester at that point were sort of. We were just waiting for the vicar to come and pronounce us dead, weren't we, really?
We were. Sometimes it's when decisions are forced on you that you find the right path.
Yes, yeah. Southampton stayed up at our expense and sacked Pearson. Yes. Score predictions. Let's have a think about score predictions. Yeah. Now, interesting, because last week we had a bit of a mixed bag. And I have to be honest with you, Jerry Taggett is doing a bit of a Man City in this at the moment. I'm very much in Norwich City this season. Going for Leicester to win every game did me quite well last season. This season, it really has buggered me up. Ian Wilson, now I don't know what they drink up there in Scotland, but my God, I'm going to get some of it. He's gone Leicester 4 and Norwich 0. Steve Linex has gone 1-0 to Leicester. Tags has gone 2-0 to Leicester. Steve Walsh has gone 3-0 to Leicester. Ian Marshall, who was the only one that got it spot on last week, but let's say he is a bit of an Evertonian. He's gone 2-1 to Leicester. And me, just in the process of wanting to be indifferent, and hopefully I get 3 points, but also thinking that if, you know, if Rodgers does put a couple of the youth players out, we may sort of, you know, we're going to concede a goal, aren't we? We know that. So I've gone for 2-1. I've gone for 2-1.
Fair enough.
But Craig, and I'm going to have to include you in this next season, make it a bit interesting.
Yes, I think you should. Yeah. Yes. So I can. So even if it's just me keeping you off the bottom.
You're going nowhere near my bottom, young man.
I'm going to go 4-1.
Wow.
Yeah. We concede to a pooky penalty.
Well, that I can. Or even a Norwich corner.
Well, you never know.
Where's the 4 goals coming from? I've got to ask you that.
I think he's going to play with. I think he's going to play with a back three. We're going to have rampaging wing backs. We're going to have 2 up front. We're going to have Maddison coming back, wanting to put one over on his old club, score a couple, but not celebrate. It's going to be a fantastic evening, Chris.
Even the Everton fan is saying that we're going to beat them. Cheers, James. I'm going to end on this one. No, I mean, I agree with Ant. I can't see a clean sheet. I haven't been able to see a clean sheet all season, to be honest with you. And when we have it, I've died of shock. But they're saying this big clear out. And Brendan said this. It'll be backed by the club for the summer transfer window, but there's not masses of money. And we've got to accept that we know the owners of, you know, with the business they're in, they've had it worse than, you know, people have still had to buy oil, you know, and companies.
Yeah.
People haven't been going on holidays. It's been as simple as that. But he said, this is where the club are brilliant. He said, we know what we've created and we're very focused on what we need over the summer. You want to keep your core players, but you want to add quality, and we have profiles we want to improve. We don't have masses of money, but we want to bring in players who can adapt to how we work. Players that are aggressive and players like that. There are players like that out there. I mean, we know Tielemans is going.
Yeah.
Is it too soon? I mean, I know we were saying about a big clear out in the summer, but then maybe, I know, that could have been a reaction to the way we were playing at the time. I'm just worried that this team's going to be ripped apart and we're back to starting again. And we might, you know, have a 10th or 12th next season before we start. Because a lot of other clubs are in the same position as us. They're sort of getting back. Arsenal and Spurs are back. West Ham and Wolves are sort of up there. Brighton are going to probably have another good season next season to keep hold of Potter. And the same with Palace. So there's a lot going for that little market that we were in on our own for a while. But like I say, the question is this team going to get ripped apart?
I don't think it'll get ripped apart. I think there'll be some fine tuning. And I think what Brendan's found this year is that footballing ability isn't enough. It's about character. And I think he'll be looking at players with character and desire just as much as ability. You know, there are aggressive players out there. You know, Smalling was very aggressive, I would say, in the 2 games for Roma. You know, I don't know how much did Roma pay for him from Man United. I'm not sure, not a lot. But in, you know, in the right team, he's progressing. He's had a fantastic season. So I think he's right when he's talking about the type of characters and the profiles that he's looking for. It's about character, desire, physicality, allied to ability. But at the end of it, the character, as we talked about with Liverpool, the core of that team, the core of that midfield, don't have a lot of ability, I wouldn't say, on the ball, but they do a bloody lot of hard work and they allow the rest of the players to play. And the people at the back, Konate, that they bought as physically aggressive as well. There are people out there, there are players out there, and the Premier League is wealthy enough to offer good money for wages for a lot of these players. So it's good to hear that it's about the profile of the player I'm quite excited about what we may bring in, to be honest.
Yeah, definitely. And as Terry said there, so what's the excuses for last year's poor signings? I mean, I think it came from Rob Tanner, so it's actually quite a reliable source that, you know, Vestergaard, Bertrand, these were Rodgers signings, not the club's, you know, scouting system signings. I mean, I don't know how much of that is true, but I would imagine that the club, having had so much success on it for, you know, the recent, you know, in recent history, they're not going to let that disappear, are they?
No. And as I say, I said this to Ant and Neil previously, that, you know, one thing that won't happen is that whatever needs to be done, the owners of the club will do it. You know, they won't allow themselves to be derailed. And we also have to think of, you know, yes, they've spent a hell of a lot of money on that training ground. You know, you're going to see that benefit. You're not going to, that's not an instant fix, is it? That's over a number of years. We've got the money for the development of the ground. You know, all of these things happen. Spurs went through it. You know, Spurs have had a couple of, you know, not brilliant years, but look at the fantastic stadium that they've got. You can't have it all at the same time. No. You know, so we're doing work now. We've done the training ground. Next up is the stadium and everything that's surrounding it. You know, there's a longer term plan than just knee jerk reactions to sacking managers going on here. And you need someone who's going to be at the middle of that. And going back to that last point, the excuse for the signings this year, it goes to what I just said, though. I think what he's found out that is footballing ability alone isn't enough. You need a bit more character, a bit more desire. Vestergaard's a good footballer. Ryan Bertrand's a good footballer. Samari is a decent footballer. What they haven't shown is character and desire, and I think that's what he's looking for in the new signings.
Yeah. Craig, as always, it's been a pleasure for you, I'm sure. But no, it's been a pleasure to have you on. Thank you very much, as always. I will see you again on Thursday evening when we've got the Big Fat Football Quiz.
We have indeed.
It returns. And this was, I think it's going to be the last one this season, which is going to be Aston Villa. So a bit of a local derby there. So I hope you made the questions really, really hard.
Oh, of course.
And thank you very much. Stay in the chat afterwards because I'll have a very, very quick word with you afterwards. But thanks very much, Craig. All the best.
You're welcome.
I'll see you on Thursday evening. And have a good time and bring 3 points back from the King Power tomorrow night.
Cheers, mate. Thanks, Chris. Thanks, everyone. Yeah. Cheers.
Thank you. Thanks to Craig there, our wise old owl. Ant, thank you very much, mate. Means a lot. Cheers. Appreciate that. Tomorrow, I'm going to be back. What about my quiz? To be honest with you, Mike, you did say the other day you were taking a step back. So we've moved on from that. We are going to be doing something else for the new year, which I'll have a word with you. If you message me on Twitter, I'll have a word with you. But that has I kind of moved on because of what you had said yourself on that one. Cheers, Mike. Appreciate that. Thank you very much. Tomorrow night, 7:15, it's the watch along. Myself and Josh, hopefully we'll have something to talk about. Fingers crossed. And 9 o'clock, in about 35 minutes, we are going to be having the old prediction show. Steve Linux, the ex-winger, is going to be joining us. And I've not been having a few good weeks on the old prediction side. So fingers crossed, I might do a bit better this week. John, thanks very much, mate. Cheers very much. And cheers, Mike. Yeah, well, so message me. I have got an idea moving forward if you want to get involved. Thanks very much, guys. Like I say, I'm going to be back at 9 o'clock with Brad and Steve. Don't forget, Football Versus Cancer, get over there, give them a subscribe. And if you haven't already, please do that on my channel. Give me a subscribe. I'm just a few off 1.2 subscribers. So if you can get me up there, that would be great. Thank you for watching. And of course, thank you for listening if you have been doing so on your favorite podcast platform. And if you've got a smart speaker, just say to it, please play the podcast at Leicester Till I Die, and it will do just what you want it to do. Good night. See you in half an hour.
Thanks for watching Leicester Till I Die. This is Chris saying goodbye, and see you next time.
Thanks. follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Network.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is, that's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van, unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.